Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Bruce, as always, with you for another podcast episode of the show. Today, Alex from Hot Tongue Pizza and Purgatory Pizza is joining the podcast. We're talking vegan pizza. I think this is a hot topic that a lot of people are interested in outside of the pizza community. I think it's going to be one of those things that we look back on and be like, you know what? That's when vegan started. It's starting now. How do you make a great vegan pizza without just having vegan pizza? I think there's a difference. I think it's how gluten-free started, you know, maybe 10 years ago, where we all were like, you know what? We need a gluten-free option. Let's just get whatever so we can say we have a gluten-free option. And then as time went on, we got better and better at making really good gluten-free pizza. Vegans at that point. A lot of people have vegans in their family, and they want to go out to a place that includes everybody. So we just have some vegan option. But let's make it a great vegan option. If we're going to do something, let's make sure we do it well. And that's what Alex is doing with Purgatory and with this new place, Hot Tongue Pizza. He's making a really good, great vegan pizza. Hot Tongue Pizza is completely vegan. He has vegan options at Purgatory, but Alex is a vegan, so he wants to make it good. Not just have it as an option, but he wants to make it good. He wants you to be able to go in there and not realize you're eating vegan pizza. So that's what we talk about on today's podcast episode. If you haven't yet, join our mastermind group. I'm telling you, you're going to get your money back within the first month with the ideas and the inspiration and the motivation you get inside the group. We talk twice a month. We talk about marketing. We strategize with you. We help you come up with ideas. We help you solve problems. That's what it's all about. SmartPizzaMarketing.com/mastermind if you want to get in on that. Sadly, as I record this episode, Pizza Expo is happening next week, I think, and I'm not going. But I'll see you next year for those that are going. I've heard a lot of people aren't or skipping this year. So let's see what kind of show it is. See if I made the right decision or if I made the wrong decision. It's going to be a really busy show and I'm going to miss out on a whole lot. But I'll be watching from afar. So have fun, those who are going. And we'll see you next year. All right, let's get a thank you to our sponsors for this episode. Then we're going to get right into it with Alex. If you're looking to market your pizzeria in 2021, you have to contact MailShark. It's got to be your direct mail go-to company. Whether you want to get your menu in the hands of new customers or promote your pizza shop with a postcard, magnet, or one of the hottest direct mail pieces, they have these plastic postcards. MailShark will work with you to come up with the best marketing plan that fits your budget. And that's very important in 2021. MailShark gives pizzerias the ability to spread those mailings and payments out over a weekly schedule. So it doesn't have to be all upfront money. It helps you out, lets you work with them to put those content pieces out and pay for it as you go. Thousands of pizzerias trust MailShark with their direct mail and printing marketing. They are the best in the industry. Give them a call today, 610-621-5116, or you can visit them at themailshark.com/SPM to find out how they can help your pizza shop. They have so many options available. Again, 610-621-5116 or themailshark.com/SPM. If you're looking for consistent quality and superior fresh tomato flavor, check out Stanislaus Food Products. Real Italian values guide this family-owned company. Values like work hard, never cut corners, always do your best, and keep your word. They know consistent flavor and quality is crucial to great food. That's why they work so hard to provide you with the freshest tomato flavor can after can. You can follow them on Instagram at Stanislaus Tomatoes for weekly business building ideas from other successful pizzerias. And I have to say, over the past few months, I've been using Stanislaus products in my pizzas that you see over on Instagram that I'm making at home. And I'm very happy with the results. I love this food product and I'm very picky about who we suggest you use here on the podcast. So if you hear them on the podcast, you know, I endorse them. I use them. I enjoy them. So if you're listening to this, go check them out on Instagram at Stanislaus Tomatoes. You will not regret it. All right. Thank you to the sponsors of the podcast. Now let's get right into the content with Alex from Hot Tongue Pizza. Alex from Purgatory Pizza and Hot Tongue Pizza coming soon, joining me on the summit this year. Alex, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
We did a podcast not too long ago. It was fun. And I know you have something new that you're working on, Hot Tongue Pizza. But give everybody a little bit of who is Alex and what do you do?
I am a pizza delivery legend. And that is how I started in this crazy business of pizza. I run Purgatory Pizza, also the head chef there. And I am on my way to opening up my second concept, which is all plant-based, called Hot Tongue Pizza.
Amazing. Let me just say real quick, thank you to the sponsor for this session, Pizza Cloud, which is a cloud-based phone answering service. They have two sessions coming up, so if you're looking for information about what Pizza Cloud does, stay tuned for those. Alex, I know we did, the way I asked that question too, reminded me of, did you ever see the movie Kindergarten Cop? Who is your daddy and what does he do? That's kind of like how I answered that question. That was not very good broadcasting. But I'm excited. So what's the difference between Purgatory Pizza and Hot Tongue Pizza?
Purgatory is like, it's an in-between a regular, you know, meat, dairy restaurant with a lot of, you know, it's not just vegan options. It's like it's very split down the middle. Everything can be done either way. And that's like what's special about Purgatory, because like whether you're gluten-free or, you know, you're vegan or, you know, whatever lifestyle or situation you have, we can take care of that.
Yeah.
But at Hot Tongue, it's 100% plant-based. No meat, no dairy, just bomb ass food.
Do you think people will even know the difference or know that you're a plant-based, or are they just going to come in and just give me a pizza and you're going to surprise them?
That's what we hope. You know, I think a lot of people are going to search us out. You know, they're going to know that it's vegan. I mean, it says vegan pizza for everyone on our box, and it's on our sign, but I think it's easier to walk into a place and not know that. And yeah. The goal really is to do that, have people walk in and like a quarter way through their slice, maybe they read something on the wall and they're like, holy shit, this is vegan. So, I mean, that's the goal.
But the difference, right? So unless you put, which I don't know if you do or not, put eggs in your dough, the only difference between your regular pizza and the vegan pizza is the cheese that you put on top. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong about that. But yeah, that and like the meat alternatives that we do make.
Yep.
But, you know, we don't put eggs in the dough. But the Hot Tongue and Purgatory will be very different. Purgatory's got like a hybrid dough with starter and a poulish, and Hot Tongue's 100% naturally leavened, and all the recipes are completely different, all organic flour and blah, 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 blah.
Really? Where did you go to learn, like get info about that? Is that something that you knew how to do beforehand?
I went to the University of YouTube.
I have a degree from the University of Google. I'm with you right there, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have my master's is in Googling. everything that I've learned has either been watching somebody else on YouTube, Googling something, or like seeing something on Instagram. And then obviously like the Pizza Expo has been helpful.
Yeah.
But mostly it's like basically stealing somebody's recipe or borrowing or whatever, and then just making it your own, you know, because like really the fun stuff is like in the process. You know what I mean? Like anyone could take any of my recipes today, you know, and take it to their shop, and I wouldn't care because their process at some point is going to be different than mine.
Yes.
You know?
I was just talking about somebody, that exact topic on a different session that we did where, you know, a lot of pizzerias, obviously you're in a different category because you're doing a different style of pizzeria. But if you take 10 pizzerias in the area, they probably use similar ingredients, similar flour, maybe the same exact sauce, maybe the same exact cheese. But it's how they put it together, how they ferment their dough, what the temperature of their oven is, how long they cook it for, what kind of oven they have. It's going to make that pizza, even though it's all the same ingredients, taste different.
Yeah. 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 You know, I like to use the musical parallels, but it's like everyone can get the same notes to a song. But if, you know, you're playing on different instruments or you have different pedals, that song is going to sound way different than the next. So right. Basically just what you said, and it's the truth. That's like why I don't worry about, I'll share all my recipes. I'll put them online. I'll talk to people, any of people that have gone on to do their own restaurants. I don't care if I see something on their Instagram that looks exactly like, you know, how we did it, because it's like, you gotta steal it or borrow, to come into your own, you know? So like, you know, give it 6 months and I'm sure it'll look different. It'll taste different. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's part of the process.
I mean, that's why people write cookbooks. Like, well, you don't write a cookbook because you don't want anybody to take your idea. You write a cookbook because you want to help people with the idea of this is how you do this one thing.
Yeah. And a cookbook is like, that's a great example, because you open up these pages and you're like, oh man, this looks beautiful. And then by the time you're putting in the last ingredients or you're taking it out of the oven, you're like, dude, this looks like shit. This does not look like
that's true.
Because it's all in the process, you know? It's like you can write it down in a book, but you like really have to figure it out yourself to really like, you'll make, even with the cookbook, that Betty Crocker recipe, after the third time, it's going to be yours, because you're going to be like, you know what? I want a little more brown sugar in this, right. Or I got a sweet too, or like I like salt, so I'm going to put more salt. So then it's yours.
Yeah. I know that we talked about this beforehand, because somebody on my Instagram asked when I shared a picture of the vegan pizza that you're doing, like, what kind of cheese do you use? And you said you make your own.
Yeah. So I'll make my own. I can give you like a doled down recipe, but I'll give you the exact, I can give you a small, a smaller version of it. Cause we do like 30 pound batches, but,
what is vegan cheese made from?
It's raw cashews.
Yeah.
It's refined coconut oil. It is, little lemon juice, tapioca flour, nutritional yeast, and kappa carrageenan and salt.
And it tastes like you, I trust your taste bud. Like if you tell me this pizza is going to be good, I'll trust you on that. It tastes good.
It's delicious, you know, and there's not imitation to cheese, because cheese, I think cheese is like it's a magical thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's incredible. It tastes delicious, but this doesn't like emulate what you're going to get from it. Like a dairy cheese. It's like a different thing. But the texture is there, and it tastes cheesy, and it's like natural. There's not a bunch of like, there's not 1700 ingredients that you might see. And I won't throw anyone under the bus, but a lot of bags of cheese that you can get.
Yeah. A lot of the bags of cheese, even the regular mozzarella, you see a lot of that shit in there.
Yeah. I mean, and I won't throw any into the bus there, but yeah, that's 100%. I mean, really you should just be seeing like whole milk and like, that's pretty much it. You know, you want about three ingredients.
It's funny, cause I went to Whole Foods the other day and I was going to get a dough ball. I make dough sometimes, but sometimes if I want a pizza, like if I want it tonight and I didn't make dough 2 days ago, I got nothing. So I went there and they had one dough ball in the freezer and one dough ball in the fridge. And the dough ball in the fridge, I always look at the ingredients of the dough, cause I don't want to have, there shouldn't be a whole bunch. And there was a lot of ingredients that I couldn't pronounce. And then I went to the one in the freezer and it only had the four ingredients that you know are in dough. So I'm like, all right, I just got to wait for this one to thaw, but I'm going to get this one and I'll put this one back on the shelf. So I agree with you. Like sometimes there's way more ingredients than need to be in there.
Yeah, it's scary. You're like trying to just like eat a meal, not read a novel. You know?
Yeah. Or like, I'm not doing an experiment. I'm just trying to.
Exactly. It's like, I'm not sure I want detectorin fluoride promethazine in my body.
Right. And so are you open yet with Hot Tongue Pizza?
No. And like, what a fun experience that's been. We signed the lease July 3rd and we're coming up, you know, on June. But it's just been a learning experience with like permitting and, you know, what I thought, you know, some good bones were, just one learning experience after the other.
I'm sure COVID didn't help. Like the scenario that you're in with COVID didn't help the situation.
COVID didn't help like permitting and pricing, like lumber and stuff is like up and metal is up. And
yeah, everything's getting really pricey.
It's getting there. We're hoping like mid June, we get in there, maybe train for a week and hopefully, fingers crossed, be open by July 1st.
Now, since Purgatory and Hot Tongue are going to be a little bit different, is it a whole new staff or are you going to have people that are from Purgatory be able to go over there and work and help train?
I am taking one of my managers that was at two of my managers that were at Purgatory, and they're going to be GMs. And because the opportunity really isn't here at Purgatory for them. So they'll go over there and we'll build the team from there. That'll be it. I'm trying to separate them as much as possible
so that you don't have people like running back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there won't be a situation where two people are working at both restaurants. That just like, that sounds like shooting myself in the foot.
Right. Did the idea for Hot Tongue come to you before COVID hit?
I mean, before I invested into Purgatory, hot tongue was like a thing I had going on. It was like, all right, you know what? Look what I did here. I could do this elsewhere. And that was like an idea that I had that just kind of got put on the back burner.
Did COVID like change any of the things that you thought it was going to be?
No. COVID, I didn't want to do, it was in the summer. So I was like, I'm not going to even have to worry about COVID. I'm going to act like COVID isn't even a thing, because I didn't want to make this restaurant that's like all COVID proof and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, who knows? And luckily, you know, we open up all the way here June 15th. So Hot Tongue will never know a COVID, you know, world, right, which is nice.
Is it sit down or is it takeout?
There's like 25 seats, so you can definitely sit down. It's a small slice shop though. It's pretty cool though. Pretty excited.
So you'll be kind of COVID friendly without having to think about being COVID friendly. Like if anything like that happens again, where it's just takeout delivery, you're already set up for that.
Yeah. But I think most like slice shops, pizza shops, you know, like the one that I'm in and the ones that I go to, they were already pretty set up, but yeah.
Just wasted space, right? For seats. If you, people can't come in.
Right. Yeah. But it makes great storage.
Yeah. Right. A lot of pizza boxes and dry goods can go there for sure.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting. So the idea for vegan, I know you are you a vegan yourself?
Yes, I am a vegan.
So that's kind of why you wanted to come up with the good. Is there any, and you don't have to say like who they are if they're not good, but like, is there any good vegan pizza around where you are? I can't think of one around where I am.
There's great vegan pizza. Pizza Nista down the street from us. I wouldn't say that they're a competitor. They're just another great pizzeria in LA, and they're down on 7th, which is like a couple blocks from us. Slasher Pizza, Cruiser Pizza is 100% vegan. Pura Vida. I mean, LA has just a ton of vegan options, but yeah. Every pizzeria here makes a vegan version of what they do, you know, with whatever cheese they have. But
like a good one, like I'm sure I could find a vegan pizza around here, but I feel like, you remember when gluten-free was a thing, like first came a thing, like probably like 10 years ago, it was like, all right, gluten-free, people are starting to look for gluten-free options. Like, let's start to have a gluten-free pizza. People just like, whatever shitty gluten-free crust I can get into my pizzeria, I'm going to say I have a gluten-free pizza. I feel like that's what the vegan pizza is around here.
No, that's a good example. And then you have like, I remember that too. And then I remember like seeing Vincent Rotolo make a,
yes,
like a Detroit style. And I was like, holy shit, what is that thing, dude?
So,
and then, you know.
Real quick, funny story about that. I was at Pizza Expo or Pizza and Pasta. And I don't know if it was him, but it was somebody. No, John Cesarano from King Umberto's made a gluten-free. I was a judge of the gluten-free category, and this is going to upset a lot of people, but 90% of the gluten-free pizzas that came through were shit. And we were like, oh my God, this is so terrible. But his came through.
Oh, I love it.
His came through, and it was me, Alberto from Forza Pizza, and Justin from Speedy Romeo were the judges. And his came through, and it was so good that we actually had brought Tony Gimignani over, and we're like, Tony, is this really gluten-free, or is he messing with us? Like, we thought he put regular flour in there. But he made, that was the first time that I've ever had a really, really good gluten-free pizza that wasn't just like, you knew it was gluten-free. It was like a really good pizza. And if nobody told me it was gluten-free, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and to see like the development of gluten-free, like that to me is like something that's exciting too. And to see that kind of thing is possible. Because like you said, like everyone's basically just using that like Frisbee disc that's just flat, and that's what gluten-free was for, you know, 5-10 years.
Still kind of like that around here a little bit, unfortunately.
What's that?
I said still like that around here a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, like with the vegan thing, you're right though. Like there's options that I enjoy, but the thing about what I do is I take it so seriously, and it's not just like, and I don't want to like talk negatively about any of this, but like sometimes with vegan cuisine, people eat it because it's vegan. They get excited because, oh, like that's an all vegan pizza place. But like maybe the fundamentals of actual good pizza don't go into it because it doesn't matter, because what they're doing is good enough. And so with like the background that I already had in pizza and how seriously I take like dough doctoring and like, you know, how much time we put into the cheese and the meat alternatives and even just like the prepping of vegetables and blah, blah, blah. Like it, I think it will translate in that way where, you know, you, that's what we want. We want you to come in and take a bite and be like, holy shit, this is vegan, you know, just think, like that gluten-free moment.
I think, you know what it's going to take? Not that this is what it's going to take, but I think Pizza Expo should do a vegan category like they did gluten-free 10 years, like, you know, not 10 years ago.
I was talking to Shaylin, you know Shaylin, yeah. I said maybe a year and a half ago, she asked if I was going to compete. And I was like, I'll compete when there's a vegan category. And she goes, that'll never happen. And, you know, I'm sure maybe one day it will, but, you know, there's definitely like, I don't know when the gluten-free category came, you know, if that was, but like, it would be awesome if there was a vegan category. I think there's a lot of operators out there now that are coming up that are doing like a lot of the same stuff I am, like the Boxcar, in Portland, yeah, and a plant-based company. And I think they're in Pennsylvania. 20th Street. I'm wearing a Pizza Head shirt.
Yeah, Pizza Head, another one. Yep.
He makes his own cheese. So I think that there would definitely be people competing.
I think that will happen. I don't think it won't. I think if it continues to trend like it is, the vegan category, I think maybe in a year or two you'll see that. I think they had the first gluten-free category probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't want to judge it until it's in its third year, though.
You can write the check. Yeah. Sorry.
No, no worries.
No, it's all good. Thank you.
I don't want to judge the vegan category until it's in its third year, though. The first year is probably going to be awful.
I don't blame you.
Unless it's some guys like yourself.
I'd love to get in on that.
I think they should do that. I think that would be a good category because my daughter's vegan, and she eats pizza, but she just takes the cheese off, you know, and she'll get toppings or just eat the sauce and the dough and the whatever toppings we put on it.
Which you can do, and if your pizza's good enough, it really shouldn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm set to compete, but and I was going to do non-traditional and I was just going to make my vegan pizza. So, I mean, you know, there might not be a category, but I wasn't going to put any of my like mozzarella on it. I'm just going to make my own.
You're just going to submit it as a vegan pizza and just see if they notice.
Yeah. I mean, I might have to tell somebody cause there's nuts in there and I'm not trying to kill anyone.
Oh, right.
So, but I don't have to say that there's nuts in the cheese. I could just say I'm using it as a topping.
Yeah. What's the process of making that cheese? Like, what do you have to do? Is it something that I could do at home?
You can do it at home. Yeah. You just like, you get cashews. You have to soak them. You soak the cashews for like 3 hours.
Yep.
And then after that, you boil some water. And then you put your cashews in like a Cuisinart or any food blender. But you need to be able to pour water into it up top. Put the cashews, all the other ingredients, and then your water has to get to like 185 or maybe 285. I don't know. It's got to be boiling hot. And you put all the water in and you let that blend for like 2 minutes and it's going to basically form this like cheesy thing. Mm-hmm. And then you can dump it into whatever container, you let it cool, and then you put it in the fridge, it'll solidify, and then you can just grate it right onto your pizza.
Does it melt like that, like regular cheese?
Yeah, it melts. You get your oven piping hot, like 500, you throw it in an uni, or like, I have a Breville Pizzaiolo, and like, no one knows that it's, when I can get to that high temperature, like no one has any idea that it's not vegan, actually.
Alex, you gotta do a vegan pizza cookbook. Like, get that done before it becomes super popular. You'll be like the first one to do it.
I'll write that down right now. Write vegan cookbook.
You could totally like write some recipes. Just get a bunch of vegan pizza recipes that you already have together. And
I got them all right here. I could just like, you know, it's all on the iPad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just do a cook. Like, get one because there's nothing out there. Like, don't let me get this wrong. Let me start over. There's vegan recipes out there, but there's nobody like you who's like a pizza chef for vegan pizza recipes. Like, there's just like random people who just like, hey, this is my vegan recipe, but who the hell are you? You're just a home cook.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, these home cooks now, they got some crazy shit going on.
That's true, but they haven't proven that people will consistently pay them money for their product.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. I mean, I just actually started I made a consulting website, you know, alexkoons.com, just for like, you know, because a goal of mine was to consult for money on somebody else's project or somebody's vision. And, you know, my specialty obviously is vegan.
Yeah.
But, you know, that seems a little easier than writing a book because I can't spell for shit. But
that's why I do a podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
Not a blog.
But I mean, just like really getting in there and like showing somebody or teaching somebody, like, you know, this doesn't have to be that. It can be as equally delicious to your regular pizzas, or if you want to do a plant-based thing, like, here, let me help you out.
Yeah, I like that. Now, I don't know about pricing of cashews. Is it more expensive to do a vegan cheese than a regular cheese?
No. The making your own, you'll save money. You'll get better flavor. It's like another process. It's we have to make it every morning. And it takes a minute, but we're making huge batches. If it was just, if you were going through a bag or two bags of vegan cheese, I don't know, every other day, it would definitely be worth doing in your own pizzeria. You're going to save money.
So do you just have bags of cashews everywhere in there?
No. So you get like you get 5-10 pounds of cashews. You put them in a red top, you let them soak, and like you use them every morning.
Oh, okay. So how much cheese do you, you don't even know, Eric, because you're not open yet. So you're not really sure how much cheese you're going to go through for the vegan cheese, but I'm sure you're doing purgatory.
Yeah. I mean, let's see, I'm also terrible at math. Baker's percentages though. I got those on lock.
I'm terrible at those. I'm terrible at everything, actually.
60.
But I can
probably like 500 pounds.
Wow. A day or a week?
That's a week at purgatory. So I'm hoping to do like probably that or twice that. 1,000 pounds a week.
And is the price of that cheese compared to regular mozzarella, like, is it more expensive, less expensive?
It is still more, well, no, dude, I don't know. Grande got pretty expensive, dude.
Yeah.
But it's probably a little bit more than what I pay for Grande. It's still cheaper than what you would pay for a case of like Follow Your Heart or you know, Violife.
Got it. Yeah. So because like when gluten free first came out, like it was like $10 a crust.
Yeah, I mean, well, gluten free is crazy too, and with the Caputo flour, like people doing those blends and stuff, like it's still pretty pricey.
Right.
Oh, you're all right, dude?
Sorry, went down the wrong way. I kind of got shocked by the price of gluten-free flour. I got a mute button over here, though. I'm good to go.
You got what?
I got a mute button.
Oh, good.
I can cough and you can't hear me coughing.
All right, I got to get one of those.
Yeah, I remember gluten-free when it first came out. It was really expensive and people wanted it, but, you know, a 12-inch gluten-free pizza was like, you know, and I'm in Boston. This was years ago. It was like $17, $18 as compared to like a 12-inch regular cheese was 10. So it was like almost double the price.
Yeah, I mean, we make all of our own gluten-free and we do it every day. And so we still charge for a 14-inch. It's the same price as our 18-inch cheese.
Is that going to be the case? Like, do you think that over at Hot Tongue, it's going to be expensive where people are going to be like, oh, that's kind of expensive?
At Hot Tongue, we're only going to do squares.
Oh, really?
I'm only going to do the gluten-free square because I think they're just phenomenal. They're like, it's crazy to see them rise. And I think that it's something that isn't done a lot out here.
Yeah, I don't think it's done a lot anywhere. Now, you're already marketing for Hot Tongue Pizza, right?
Yeah, I'm delivering free pizzas every week to people just to get it out. And like, I'm just so antsy. Like, I have all the recipes. I'm trying to prep. I'm trying to get these recipes kind of like locked in, doing some R&D while just like doing a little trivia every Wednesday on Instagram and then delivering pizzas on Thursday.
Do you mind if I share your Instagram, Hot Tongue Pizza, like to show it here for people watching?
That's fine. Yeah, it's been wild. I've been all over LA.
So these are all the pizzas on your Instagram are all vegan.
Yep. Those are all just like me making those pizzas and taking pictures of them and sending them out and having people try them.
Like these, this pizza right here, this cheese pizza looks like a regular cheese pizza.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. I mean, I want to talk shit on a cheese company, but yeah, that melts better than some cheese companies.
I mean, it looks great. I want to try this at home because my daughter would love it. She doesn't like often get to eat a cheese pizza because we don't buy, we don't buy the vegan cheese because, like you said, there's a lot of ingredients and it's kind of expensive. And she's not like she can just eat it without it. But I want to try that recipe that you gave me at home because I want to see if she can taste it and if it's good for her.
Yeah, I mean, I can email it to you.
Yeah, do that. That would be amazing because I want to have her. She's right there. Oh, nice. She does it. She like cooks all kinds of vegan stuff, and I enjoy it. Like, I don't know if I would cook vegan myself because I like meat, but if she cooks something that's vegan and doesn't tell me, I'll just eat whatever.
You know, it's funny you say that. It's like there's like a stigma behind it too, because like if you don't know it's vegan, then it's like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
But like the minute you say the word, you know what I mean? It's like we had an all vegan wedding, me and my wife, and like all the food was 100% plant based. And it was just like eggplant, like Japanese eggplant, like in miso sauce, like no crazy shit. But everyone knew that it was vegan, and that some people decided not to eat it.
Really? You know?
Yeah, because it was vegan, but really it was just like mostly vegetables.
Yeah, that's what she does. I mean, I'll try anything. I mean, I'll try anything, within reason. And then if I like it, there's no stigma attached to me. Like maybe because I'm used to it, because she has been vegan for so long that she has opened me up to experiment with other things. Like we went to we were on vacation 2 weeks ago, and we went to a barbecue place. And they had a vegan option for barbecue. And it was like a platter of all the same kinds of things that we had with the meat, but it was all vegan options. And I tried everything. It was like, it was okay. It was good. I didn't think it was anything. I didn't think it was bad. I don't know if I would order that, but I definitely, if someone gave it to me, I would eat it. I'm not going to shy it away.
Yeah. I mean, and that's great that place had that kind of those options. You know? Yeah.
I think it's more popular now. Like, the availability of those types of things are farther, way greater now than they were 10 years ago.
Oh yeah. It's like, it's insane. There's literally like almost full aisles now, or at least a couple fridges that like, you know, used to be able to get like tofurkey. And like now it's like, there's like sports people, you know, Drake just invested into like some vegan chicken brand. Like, you know, everyone's on the Beyond Meat or Impossible. Like it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. You know, if you were to open up Hot Tongue, if you 10, 12 years ago say, hey, listen, I'm going to open up a vegan pizzeria, people were like, what are you doing? You're crazy.
Yeah, that's true. But if I had known what I knew 10 years ago and I could make the pizza that I did, I think it would have gone out. It would have gone like gangbusters. I mean, probably maybe in LA, because there's already been like, there's been so many people before, maybe not doing pizza, but like the vegan or plant-based scene has already been popular out here. It's like you can go, you know, down the street and be like, okay, there's a vegan restaurant. Okay, there's a vegan restaurant. Or okay, there's a place that has great vegan options. You know, I know I'm lucky out here to have that.
But it'll spread. I think if it becomes popular there, it'll eventually spread out to the suburbia areas. That's how it always
goes. No doubt.
Do you make all of the vegan options, like the meats and all of the things, do you make all of those in your restaurant, or is there any companies that sell good vegan options or alternatives that you buy?
No, we don't. We make all of our own vegan options. We make our own vegan pepperoni. We make a vegan chicken that we make out of chickpeas. We make vegan sausage, which is just mostly ground up vegetables. And then, but there is other great options that you can get. Why am I spacing on the pepperoni?
Is it like a big
Beehive pepperoni? Yep. Vegan pepperoni is really, really good. I think they're in Nashville, but a lot of people use them for vegan pepperoni, and vegan pepperoni is hard.
What makes vegan pepperoni hard?
Pepperoni, like, it's mostly made out of seitan, which is vital wheat gluten, which is just like, you know what vital wheat gluten is? Yeah. Yeah, which is funny because making vegan meat is a lot like making pizza. You know, it's like dough development.
Right.
If you don't get it right, it just, it's like really thick and like it crumbles and it's dry. But like, I think there's is seitan based, but it's like cut super thin and it's just got great texture. And so does ours. That's pretty much it for the pepperoni that I've had that is really good. And then like Gardein makes chicken. They've been around forever.
It's decent.
But there's like a place called, there's a Atlas Monroe makes crazy chicken patties. She went on, I think, Shark Tank and basically turned them down.
Really?
And now she's like, I think she's on her way to being a millionaire if she isn't already.
Atlas Monroe, that's her name, or is that the name of the company?
That's the name of the company, I think. Yes. But there's all kinds of options. Like I said, you go to Whole Foods and you just, you know, go down the line. Miyoko's cheeses, cream cheese, mozzarella cheese, all that stuff's really good.
That's interesting. So is it like way more work to do vegan than it is regular style pizza or to top in?
I would say so, because the main thing about regular pizza is like you go out, you get all the ingredients that you want, you know, you prep your organic veggies, you pick your tomato sauce, you make your sauce, and then you pick what cheese you're going to use. And then the rest is up to your dough. So it's like, how much time are you going to take on your dough doctoring or your dough process? And some people don't have to take that much time and their product is incredible. You know, it's a straight mix and it's like, man, I don't know what you're doing, but it's working for you. But some people, you know, I don't know if you've talked to Noel yet, but he, that guy's a dough scientist.
He's actually coming on at 5 o'clock today.
He's the man.
Yeah.
But you can really dive deep into that. And that's what's going to make that pizza, you know, cause grande is going to taste the same pretty much on most pizzas,
right.
Stanislaus or Bianco di Napoli, you know, a Roma tomato is a Roma tomato. So what we have to do is, take that vegan cheese, and all I'm trying to do is have that same kind of enjoyment, that same kind of consistency, that same kind of texture while it being, you know, 100% plant-based.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's interesting. I'm excited to, next time I'm in Los Angeles, I think I'll probably be there by the time you open Hot Tongue. I'll have to stop by and try one out.
You got it. You gotta roll through.
And in the meantime, I'm going to take that recipe that you gave me, or you're going to send to me, and I'm going to have my dog.
I'm going to send it to
cheese.
You.
Yeah, because I'm interested to see that. Maybe I'll post it on Instagram. I'll tag you if it comes out good. I'll tag you either way. I'm sure it'll come out good.
You got to give it. You got to give it three times.
Okay.
You got to try it three times. But really, I'll tell you where you can get all the ingredients. The main ingredients that's crazy, it's like straight magic, is the Kappa carrageenan. And it's basically, it's red seaweed that is a vegan binder. But like, it literally looks like it has this thing on the back that says you're a musician and now you're graduated Hogwarts and make incredible food. It's like, I swear it's got the Deathly Hallows on it.
That's amazing. Where do you get that? You can get it at Whole Foods, like in the smaller size?
No, you get it from Amazon.
Okay.
Excellent. The only place I can get it, this brand that I'll give you is the only one that's worked as well as it has.
All right. So if you're watching this live or you're watching the replay of this, Alex is going to send me that recipe. This week at some point, maybe not this week, maybe next week, I'm going to make that recipe. I will put it on Instagram. I'll tag Alex and I'll share with everybody the results. You can see them for yourself. I'm pretty sure.
Hell yeah.
Will says, Diego says, thanks guys. My 3-year-old son is a vegan diet. Where can I find can you find your recipes anywhere? Alex's cookbook coming out soon.
Dude, 2022, let's say January, dude.
All right. 2022. We'll look for Alex's cookbook. I'll share the recipe that Alex gives me on a smaller scale when it comes out with that. What is the brand of Kappa?
I think it's like Chef. Hold on. I just got it ordered.
The Kappa was what you were just referring to, right?
The Kappa carrageenan. It has like a chef on it. I don't know. Go to recent orders.
If you can't find it in there now, no worries. If you're watching this, just message me on Instagram. Alex can send me like that info, email me that, and I can share it with you too. Or you can probably, I'm sure if you message Alex on Instagram, he can share it too.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's Pure Refined Kappa Carrageenan. That's just what it says.
And Alex, thank you. I appreciate you joining me on the podcast here. Well, not the podcast, the summit. Thank you so much. Where can people go if they want to check you out in person or online? Where should they go?
My home address is, no, I'm just joking. You can come down to Purgatory in the Arts District. Hot Tongue will be open mid-June, which is in Silver Lake, or find me on Instagram at hot tongue pizza or at Purgatory Pizza and say what's up. You can ask for recipes there too, and I'll send you exactly what I got in my iPad.
There, Alex, thank you so much. I'm going to hit that stop button of the recording, but I appreciate you. Thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge and your time with us today.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate it.
Thank you to Alex for joining me on the podcast. Thank you for listening. If you haven't yet, if you could leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you leave reviews, that would be amazing. Would really help out the podcast, help the show get more exposure. We get more guests, bring you better and more podcasts over the next few weeks. Appreciate you doing that. Check out our mastermind group if you want. Smart Pizza Marketing is the home base where we take all the show notes for you. And hit me up on Instagram. I am at Smart Pizza Marketing on Instagram. I recently, if you're listening to this podcast when it's released, I put a post over on Instagram, said tag us. If you're doing cool things that is different, I want to bring new voices, new ideas, new inspiration, people who are doing cool things. We hear a lot of the same old in the pizza industry, but I want to bring new ideas and fresh thinking to this podcast. So if that's you and you're doing something cool, I don't care how many followers you have on Instagram. If you're just starting out or if you've been in business for a short period of time and you're doing something cool, let me know about it. I want to bring you on this podcast, have a conversation with you, and share it with other people. At Smart Pizza Marketing on Instagram. Go over there and let me know. Thank you all for tuning into the podcast. Appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.